very happy to see you today in Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept. May Allah Pak give us the correct intentions to seek His pleasure and to seek the worship of Laylatul Qadr. This is what our intention should be. Maulana Abdul Hayy Lakhnavi rahmatullah alayhi was asked, what intention should a mu'takif make? And what intention did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make? And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intention was to search for Laylatul Qadr. So a mu'takif's first intention should be to search for Laylatul Qadr, and also at the same time following sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have made the intention, alhamdulillah, before Asr Salah, and it will continue until the moon sighting of Eid, inshallah. Now, first, the things that a mu'takif should do, and then secondly, the things that he should not do. What we should do is abundance of ibadat. If you can busy yourself in salat, like salatul tahajjud, salatul duha, salatul awwabin. Salatul tahajjud, we all know, the nightly prayer. And salatul ishraq is about after the sun has risen. But most people will be sleeping at that time. Okay, no problem. Get up 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, whenever, and pray salatul duha, which is before zawal, 8 rakats. And if you can pray salatul tasbih in that salatul duha, then it's better for you. Inshallah, we will tell you the method of salatul tasbih. Many elders know, they will explain to you. It's a hadith in Ibn Majah and Tirmizi that Rasulullah said, if you pray these 4 rakats salat, then Allah will forgive you all your sins. You have to pray the 3rd kalima, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. 75 times in 1 rakat, 150 in 2, and then 300 in 4. So you have to pray 4 rakats, 75 times in each rakat, 15 times while you are standing, 10 times in ruku, 10 times after Sami Allahu Liman Hamida, 10 times in first sajda, 10 times after getting up, 10 times in second sajda, 10 times after getting up, and then you get up. So that's 75 times. And it will take no more than maybe half an hour. If someone is speedy, he can do it in 15 minutes, 20 minutes. If you take time, it will be maybe half an hour, 40 minutes at the most. So if you can spend that time in Salatul Duha, Chash Namaz, and pray Salatul Tasbih, it's better for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his uncle, pray this Salat every day if you can. If you can't pray it every day, then pray it once a week. If you can't pray it once a week, pray it once a month. If not, pray it once a year. If not, at least pray it once in your lifetime. So it is very valuable Salah. So pray Salatul Duha if you can. And also Salatul Awwabin, which is 6 rakats after Maghrib. After Maghrib, there is time to take for dastarkhan, be spread out, and food, alhamdulillah. The management committee have been so gracious that they will be providing our foods for iftar, so we may Allah reward them for that. Mm-hmm. So while they are doing the preparations, we can pray Salatul Awwabin, which is 6 rakats. We pray 2 rakats anyway, so add 4 more and make it 6. And Rasulullah said, if you pray these 6 rakats, Allah will give you sawab of ibadat for 12 years. So 6 rakat, maybe 6 minutes, and in 6 minutes we can get sawab of ibadat for 12 years. So why not take sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So pray the Salatul Awwabin with punctuality, not just in Ramzan, throughout the year as well, and throughout the rest of your life as well, inshallah. So these are the with regards to Salat. And then the next thing to do is increase your recitation of the Quran. Whenever you get time, sit down, recite the Quran. Make wudu and recite the Quran. Pray a little bit of Nafil Salat. And the Masala says that just for reciting the Quran, you won't be allowed to go and do wudu. So you must make intention that I'm going to make wudu to pray Nafil Salat. The reason is Nafil Salat cannot be prayed without wudu. So mu'takif is allowed to go and do wudu for Nafil Salat. But Quran Sharif can be recited without wudu, without touching. Hafiz can read without touching. Or maybe if it's tafsir, you can pick and read without touching. So they say that just for performing wudu, you shouldn't go out. Just for performing wudu to recite Quran, you shouldn't go out. So make an intention, that I need to pray a few nawafil, I'm going outside to make wuzu, come inside, pray 2 rakat, 4 rakat, tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wuzu, and then recite the Quran. So recite Quran as much as you can, whenever you know, as many khatams as you can. Our aslam, they used to read so much. Imam Bukhari Abdullah used to complete one recitation every day throughout Ramzan. And in night, in tahajjud and nawafil, tarawih after Isha, he would recite 10 siparas every day in nawafil throughout whole Ramzan. 10 juz. So every third day he would be doing khatam in nawafil, in tahajjud or nawafil. Inshallah, we will be praying tahajjud on one side as well. If someone wants to join in, you can do so. We'll try to make one khatam in there as well. Maybe 2:30 or 3 we start within 1 hour. 4 o'clock will be suhoor time, and suhoor will be ready at about 4 o'clock. So if 4:45 is suhoor finishing time, so before that people can fulfill their needs. Because we are in i'tikaf, we are so many, and the toilets are limited, and outside people also come to use. So I think it would be wise to, you know, get ready for salat a bit quicker than the rest of the public arrives. Maybe 1/2 hour before salat. So if you get ready, finish off with our needs. We have 1/2 hour before salat, stay in the masjid. So other people who come, they can come and use the washrooms after that. So keeping that in mind, inshallah, we will finish suhoor at about 4, quarter past 4, 4:30. Get ready for salat al-fajr. After fajr, 5 minutes reading from the book called Remembrance of Death. And after that, inshallah, everybody go to sleep, the lights will be off. And sleep until you want, inshallah, as much as you want, no problem. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi Alayhi, when he used to have plenty of mu'takifin, he used to have nearly 300 mu'takifin at one time in Dar al-Jadid. And every mu'takif would be given the space of one musalla. He would have to spread his bedding over there and then roll it up for salat. He would pray his salat over there as well, and he would sleep there as well. He would recite his Quran there as well, because the whole masjid would be filled with mu'takifs. So Hazrat would say to the mu'takifin that in the previous era, when people used to go to mashayikh for israh of their nafs, and they would stay with them in their company for some time, the mashayikh of suluk would say, put emphasis on 3 things. They would say, kam khurdan, kam khuftan, kam guftan. Khana kam khao, sobo kam, or baatein kam karo. Eat little, sleep little, and talk less. Eat less, sleep less, talk less. Hazrat say, but I would say, you can eat as much as you want, you can sleep as much as you want, just do one thing less. That is talking. Don't talk. Because many times that we keep talking, and he says things which he shouldn't be saying. And when you say bad things inside the masjid, then the good deeds which you have committed, even they are wiped out. It is the effect of gossiping inside the masjid that good deeds and a'mal saliha are being washed away through talking haram things inside the masjid. So keep that in mind. Don't talk too much. And these days, talking is not restricted to the person whose bed is next to yours, but also on the mobile phone. So while you are in i'tikaf, you know, try and limit your conversation on mobiles as well. Only necessary conversation. We're not saying it's najayiz, yet itself sometimes you need to talk. So when you need it, just okay, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam, everything okay. I'm in i'tikaf, bhai, I can't talk much. So whatever is important, tell me. If not, then khuda hafiz. And keep it limited. My ustad, Shaykh Yunus Sahib, even during normal days, he doesn't talk much on the phone. As soon as he picks the phone, jee, kya baat hai bhai, kaho ji. Ji, hazrat, ye ho. Bas koi kaam ki baat ho to kaho. Say anything which is useful. Otherwise, bas karo, bas ho gaya. Or if somebody drags the conversation, say, achha, khuda hafiz, puts the phone down. If you are there and someone talks, starts a lengthy conversation, he says, bhai, iski tamheed to bahut tulani hai. This guy's tamheed is not finishing. His introduction is not finishing. When is his talk going to start? So Hazrat doesn't like lengthy conversation even on the phone as well. So try and limit your conversation. You know, people, they say, I've got 200 minutes on my phone. My minutes are running out. So if your phone minutes are running out, your life's minutes are also running out. So you must be careful about your life's minutes as well. Because a human being is made of his life, time. People say, time is money. Time is more than money. Hasan Basri used to say, Yabna Adam, innama anta ayyam. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضٌ. Son of Adam, you are the name of days. When one day of your life is gone, you are gone. Every day that goes, you are going with that day. Because life is made up of years, years of months, months from weeks, weeks from days, and days from hours, hours from minutes and seconds. So human being is the name of time. So we should manage our time and use it wisely. So Hazrat Rahmatullah would say, especially during i'tikaf, while you are in the masjid, don't engage yourself in useless talk. Kaam ki baat kaho, or useful baat kaho, amr bil maruf, nahi anil munkar, something good, advice to someone. Otherwise, be careful. So, second thing to do is, we were talking about, first is salat, as much as we can. Secondly, tilawat of Quran. And after that, thirdly, zikrullah. Whatever amount of zikrullah Allah gives tawfiq, you know, tasbihat, make a habit that I have to read this tasbihat. If you are bayat to a sheikh, go read according to his instructions. If you are not bayat to a sheikh, then tasbihat of maybe one kalma, 100 times, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. 100 times, third kalma, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. 100 times, astaghfirullah allazi la ilaha illahu alhayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah allazi la ilaha illahu alhayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayh. Astaghfirullah allazi la ilaha illahu alhayyul qayyum wa tubu ilayh. And Durus Sharif, Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you can pray the namaz, Durus Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, kama salli ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, kama barakna ala Ibrahim wa ala Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. That's good, because it came out from the lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught us that send salat and salam to me in this manner. So if you can read one tasbih of that, very good. Or any other small Durus Sharif, whichever you can, read it as much as you can. Durus Sharif is very beneficial, especially now on Friday night and Friday morning, Friday throughout the day. The more Durus Sharif you read, is better for you. And our salat and salam is presented to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is happy with us. He makes dua for us. He does istighfar for us. Because he's been told, وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكْ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. That, oh Muhammad, you should seek istighfar for yourself and for mu'minin and mu'minat. So he does istighfar for us. And our salat is presented to him. So read this as much as you can. These are the things we should be doing. Salat, tilawat, and zikr fikr, tasbihat. The other things, sadqa khairat, if you have money. First of all, I've just been instructed, advised by some of our elders that I should tell the mu'takifin that at the time of Salat, and especially at Taraweeh, many youngsters come from outside and we have control over them. So keep your valuables to yourself. Maybe your mobile phone, if you have extra money, keep it in your pocket. Don't leave it under your pillows or on your beddings, because we don't know, there are plenty of people coming in and going, and not all people are angels. There might be some shaitans as well. So you don't know what's going to happen, you get them everywhere. So we have to be careful. Some time ago I went to Dilli Barkas Nizamuddin. Maulana Suleiman Jhanji Rahmatullah Ali was alive at that time. As soon as namaz salat finished and everybody was getting up, he stood up and announced loudly, Bhaiyo, apne iman ki aur saman ki hifazat karo. Dosto, protect your iman and your saman. Your iman and your property. Take care of your iman and take care of your property. So even though we are in masjid, we should take care of our iman and take care of our property as well. So this is the hidayat. And if there is some chanda going on, you want to give some sadqa khairat in there, then do so as much as you can throughout the month. May Allah Pak give us tawfiq and accept as well. So these are the things that we should be doing, and things that we should be avoiding, like we have said, unnecessary gossip and talking. And going outside without necessity. Because we are in i'tikaf, we should stay in the masjid. To the extent that you can only go out for something that is necessary, like using the toilet for istinja, or making wudu for salat, as has been mentioned, or for farz ghusl. Major purity takes place, you have ihtilam, wet dream, and you need to have a ghusl. Then at home, you can sleep till the morning and have ghusl in the morning. But in i'tikaf, you have to get up immediately. because a person with janabat is not allowed to stay inside the masjid. So as soon as that janabat and impurity happens and your clothes are najis, you have to get up, go outside, take your shower, clean yourself, and then come back in the masjid. So you have to be mindful of that. So you can go out for these necessities. Other than that, you should not go outside there. Even in here too, they said that you shouldn't go out to wash your hands after eating as well. There are people who provide some hand washing for you inside. The Ismail Kachorbi Sahab has written over here. And he has also said, regarding wudu, which I mentioned, you can go for wudu of Salat, but not wudu of Quran. Also he said, regarding the ghusl of Friday, because ghusl on Friday is sunnah. So can a person go out for ghusl of Friday or not? I haven't read anything here, but I remember Mufti Rashid Ahmad Sahab Ludhianvi, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say no. That ghusl of Friday is not necessary. It's only sunnah, it's not farz, it's not wajib. So you shouldn't go out for ghusl of Friday. Hazrat Maulana Ismail Wadiwala Sahab, he was in Aitikaf with us once in Darulum, and he was asked this masla, and he said, if someone has a habit of regularly having ghusl, then it has become his bashari zarurat, necessary need. So he would be allowed. If at home you can't stay clean without that, and on a Friday you feel really bad and you want to wash yourself, then take minimum time. He said that go out for istinja pishab, take your clothes with you. After your istinja, quickly have a shower and then come back. Don't waste time. Don't stand in the queue out there waiting for the bath. Just go, have your ghusl and come in quickly as soon as possible. So tomorrow is Friday, but alhamdulillah most of us might have a shower today. So you don't need to. Next Friday maybe you will need to. So if you feel that need, that urgently, you feel really dirty and you want to clean yourself, get rid of the smell and kuchal, then okay, go and have ghusl. But take minimum time, go with the intention of istinja. After istinja, take your shower, come back quickly, don't waste any time. Also, if you do go outside in the wudu khana for wudu or for some reason, don't sit there talking with anyone who is not in itikaf. Because you are only allowed to go for the necessary amount. And if you engage yourself in unnecessary talk, then the itikaf is at risk of breaking. So make your wudu, come back straight inside, and if you have the need to talk, then call him inside and talk over here, but don't talk outside. So these are a few adab of itikaf. If someone has a habit of smoking, can he go out for smoking? First of all, try and give up that habit for 10 days. No? Make a resolution that I want to give it up. Maybe Allah will give you tawfiq, and inshallah after Ramzan you can give up. But try, because in Ramzan you have to fast throughout the day anyway. So you don't smoke throughout the day. So if you avoid it throughout the night as well, it's much easier for you and you can kick the habit altogether. So try and do that if possible. May Allah make it easy for everyone. But if it's unavoidable and you can't take it, you feel that urge and that need and emergency, then go for istinja, take your smoking and come back. But wash yourself, put some ether perfume on before you come inside the masjid. Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah gave permission, but he put the condition that after smoking you should get rid of that bad odor. Apply some perfume on, maybe keep chewing gum with you, chew that gum, extra strong mint, so it gets rid of the smell from your mouth and from your clothes as well, and then come back inside while that odor is gone. So first thing is try and give it up. If it's unavoidable, then limit it, and even when you go and you come back, clean yourself, put some perfume fragrance on, and don't disturb anyone else inside the masjid. So this is with regards to the smoking. And but otherwise, Hazrat Mufti Sahab has mentioned some masail over here. Maybe might be forgetting something, so I'll just look inside. In Fatawa Rashidiya, it is written that it's permissible for a person to leave the masjid after Maghrib Salat to smoke, clean the mouth of bad odor, and return back to the masjid. And it said over here, however, one should try and avoid and kick out this habit altogether. If they are unable to do so, then they would be allowed to leave the masjid. If there are facilities to perform wudu within the masjid, and you are able to ensure droplets do not fall onto the masjid's floor, then you would not be allowed to leave the masjid for wudu. After completing the needs for which you are allowed to leave the masjid, you should return immediately and not spend more time than necessary out of the masjid. If there are various places where you can fulfill your needs, then choose the further option, or to use your facilities instead of the masjid is not desirable. If you are unable to completely satisfy, fulfill your needs, or able to complete your needs quickly at the further option, then it will not be, it will be allowed. If one leaves the masjid for a natural or religious need, and at the same time does the work for which he was not allowed to leave the masjid, then if it does not take much time, it will be allowed. For example, one person went outside and he visited the sick, or having bath while using lavatory, or washing clothes while taking a bath, then this would be allowed. If a person performing i'tikaf but has to go and sign at the job center or attend an important hospital appointment, then in such circumstances it will be permissible to leave the masjid. Some mu'takifin adopt wrong methods in these sort of rules. E.g. a person went to perform bath for Friday prayers and had the intention of using the toilet and wasted many minutes queuing for their turn, then they should not do this. The principle is that if Shariat allows one to leave the masjid to fulfill needs, then as a secondary matter, one can carry these other kinds of works out. For this purpose, the i'tikaf will not break. If one leaves the masjid without valid reason, mistake or not, i'tikaf will break. There are varied opinions in this matter. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, i'tikaf will break even if one goes out for a little while. Imam Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi's views are that if one spends a major part of the day outside, then it would break. Shaykh Ibn al-Humam prefers the view of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and Allama Ibn al-Nujaym rahmatullahi alayhi prefers the other view. Allama Sarakhsi in Khulasatul Fatawa writes that there is ease in the views of Imam Muhammad, Imam Abu Yusuf. Hence, one should ideally act in conforming to the views of Abu Hanifa, otherwise there is easiness in acting on the other view. One should remember there is no time limit for nafal i'tikaf, but it is best to keep i'tikaf for one day with a fast, although one is allowed to keep i'tikaf for less as well. If one leaves the masjid without a reason, then the i'tikaf will be complete without breaking, nor will qaza have to be made. If one re-enters the masjid, he should renew his intention for i'tikaf. Sunnati muakkada, i'tikaf is for a period of 10 days. Hence, to leave the masjid without a religious or natural need breaks the i'tikaf. The i'tikaf also has the same ruling. Those needs which are neither religious or natural but fall within the category of important, if one leaves the masjid to fulfill them, then although he will not be sinful for breaking i'tikaf, yet i'tikaf will be nullified. E.g. if one receives the court order to be present at a court hearing, or due to an illness, he has to attend doctor's surgery, or has to make funeral arrangement for someone close to him, etc., then he goes outside, okay, he will be allowed to go, but his i'tikaf will break. So he can go to the court or to the hospital or there, but his i'tikaf will break over there. Things that break the i'tikaf. Sexual intercourse will nullify i'tikaf. This is the case regardless of whether it was intentional or in forgetfulness, during the day or at night, inside the masjid or outside the masjid, whether ejaculation happened or not. In all cases, the i'tikaf will be broken, nullified. All acts which are precursor to sexual act, like fondling, kissing, touching with affection, ejaculation by brushing against thighs, etc., are all disallowed, but until ejaculation occurs, the i'tikaf will not be nullified. One is allowed to speak to one's wife during i'tikaf, and she is also allowed to enter the masjid, provided that she fulfills the requirement of parda, veiling. To have a wet dream, ejaculation due to constant thinking, eat in forgetfulness while fasting, fall unconscious are instances that have no effect on the i'tikaf. If one has stayed unconscious or in a state of madness for more than one day and has been unable to make intention for fasting, then the i'tikaf will not be correct and qaza will be necessary. In i'tikaf, if a lady starts to menstruate or have postnatal bleeding, then the i'tikaf will break and qaza will have to be made. If the i'tikaf was sunnati muakkada, then only that particular day's qaza with fasting will be made. If someone ate something which made him intoxicated, then this will not break the i'tikaf, like drugs or something. Likewise, if someone ate an item which was snatched or stolen, then although this action in itself is a sin and guna, yet it will have no effect on the i'tikaf. When making a vow, if one makes an exception, e.g. to go to read janaza prayer or to visit the sick, then he will be allowed to leave the masjid for that purpose. If one intentionally ate or drank something during the day, then fast and i'tikaf will both break. If one eats by mistake, the fast and i'tikaf will not break. So these are just some masails regarding the i'tikaf. Mufti Ismail Kacholvi Sahab has written this. I think the rest is okay. And there are many fazail and virtues of i'tikaf, like we mentioned the hadith, Al-Mu'taqif Ya'taqifu Dhunub وَيَجْدِيدَهُ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَعَامِلِ الْحَسَنَاتِ كُلِّهَا. And the purpose of i'tikaf is that one needs to attach himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi writes in Fazail Ramzan, the reward for i'tikaf is great, as indicated by the fact that the Holy Prophet always used to perform i'tikaf. The example of him who resides in the masjid for i'tikaf is that of a person who, having gone to a certain place to appeal for something, remains there until that thing is granted to him. As the poet says, "May my last breath break at your feet. This is my desire, this is my longing. If someone comes begging at our door, and then refuses to leave until his request has been granted, then we are certain that even the person with the hardest heart among us will eventually give in to that request. Allah is such that He is looking for excuses to forgive. He forgives even without an excuse. You are such a giver, your doors of mercy are always open. Ask Musa how much the Lord gives. He went to get fire and received prophethood. When one disassociates himself from the dunya and begs at the door of Allah, what doubts are there that he will be granted? If Allah grants, then who can describe His treasures? I am helpless to say more. How can a child explain the ecstasies of youth? Hold firm to the following. The flower which has been given its heart, the flower which I am devoted to, either I get it or I die in trying to get it. Ibn al-Qayyim writes that the true aim is to divert the heart away from everything except Allah and to come closer to Allah, thereby forming a complete spiritual connection with the Creator Himself. All worldly connections are cut off for the sake of gaining Allah's attention, and all thoughts, desires, love and devotion become centered around Him. As a result, attachment with Allah is attained. Love and friendship that will be the only solace in the loneliness of the grave. Can one possibly imagine the great ecstasy with which that time in the grave will be spent if we have Allah in our hearts? My heart yearns for the opportunity day and night that I sit thinking about my beloved. The author of Maraqil Falah has written that when i'tikaf is performed properly and sincerely, it is among the most virtuous of deeds. One cannot possibly enumerate all the great advantages and benefits in it. In i'tikaf, one has to draw the heart away from everything, give the soul up to the Creator of that soul, and submit oneself at His doorstep. My intention is to fall at someone's door with the burden weighing my head down. All the time, one remains in a state of worship. Even when one is sleeping, one is still in worship. Even when you are sleeping, you are still in worship, striving for the nearness and closeness to Allah. Allah says, according to one hadith, "Whosoever draws near to me the length of one hand, I draw near to him the length of two hands. And whoever draws near to me by walking, I draw nearer to him by running." Moreover, in i'tikaf, one seeks refuge in the house of Allah and is safe in the house of Allah from all enemies, especially shaitan. Therefore, one should try and attach himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the fazilat and virtue of i'tikaf. May Allah Pa give us the tawfiq to perform i'tikaf properly. Give us all the ibadat and worship of Laylatul Qadr. Since there is possibility of Laylatul Qadr tonight as well, so why not have a little rest and then engage ourselves in ibadat? Any questions? Okay. Tihin, 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 Tihin.